Whenever God is getting ready to use someone, they will have a battle to overcome.
Why? Dr. Tony Evans says that's the Lord's way of finding out if we know where our help really comes from.
He wants to know that the spiritual won't be thrown aside when the natural shows up.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Today, Dr. Evans will show us why wherever you are in life, you didn't get there on your own, and you're there for a reason. Let's join him as he takes us to the book of Esther for a look at God's intricate planning and impeccable timing.
Many people and Christians will have spent a large part of their lives climbing the ladder of success only to discover at the end that it was leaning against the wrong wall. In an effort to meet the standards of our world system and what it calls success, many will have missed the purposes of God. They will have perhaps been very great in their careers and in their education and with their resources, but will stand before God never having finished the work that God had called them to do. What we call purpose or destiny, your divinely designed reason for being, once you become a Christian. The reason why we were not raptured at the moment of conversion was that God left us here for the achievement and the accomplishment of a kingdom purpose. Unfortunately today, it is easy to get caught up in the wrong purpose. The purposes of people, possessions, paychecks, power, popularity, and maybe we sprinkle a little piety in to make us feel a little better. It is easy to live the life that we live without the right end game in mind. Like the man who said, I was dying to finish high school so that I could go to college. I was dying to finish college so that I could start my career. I was dying to get married so that I could start a family. I was dying for those kids to become 18 so that they could leave. I was dying to retire only to discover now I'm just dying. And the sense of purpose is gone. That leads us to our two chapters today, chapters 3 and 4 of the book of Esther. Because it is in these chapters that the greatest statement and the most famous statement in the book is located in chapter 4, verse 14, when Mordecai asked her the question, have you not obtained royalty for such a time as this? Or as the King James says, have you not been called to the kingdom for such a time as this? So I want to explain to you, using the providential hand of God in the life of Esther, how you know when it's your time. You hear people talk about, it's my time, it's my season. And that's easy to say and quote. But how do you know when God has prepared you for the moment? That time that he has worked with you for through the good, the bad, and the ugly to bring you to a space of usefulness for his kingdom purposes. Well, chapter 3 opens up with a problem because we're told in chapter 3, verse 1, after these events, King Ahasuerus promotes Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and established his authority over the princes who were with him. And all the king's servants who were at the king's gate bowed down and paid homage to Haman. But Mordecai neither bowed nor did he pay homage. Houston, we have a problem. Ahasuerus, the king, has decided to elevate a man named Haman. Haman is made the second most powerful person in the Medo-Persian Empire. And the king has said, I want there to be public recognition of the promotion that I've given to Haman. So I want everybody in the kingdom to bow. And so as everybody began to bow, then they came to one of the employees of the king named Mordecai. And they said, Mordecai, it's time to bow. Mr. Haman is coming down. Mr. Haman is passing through. Mordecai says, excuse me, but I can't do that. I can't bow and pay homage. I cannot worship him. I can respect him. I can affirm him. But what you're asking me to do is bow down and pay homage. You're calling for an act of worship, and I can't do that. They want to know, verse 3, how are you transgressing the king's command? Let me put it in everyday language. How are you not doing what the government told you to do? Because this is the king talking. This is governmental affairs. They spoke to him daily, according to verse 4. They told Haman, there's this dude named Mordecai, and he's not going to bow. But let me tell you why he's not going to bow. He's a Jew. And them people over there, they've been taught by, you know, their worldview that you do not bow, that is, in worship, to men or to systems of men. Haman, verse 5, was full of rage, ticked off. He said, well, not only am I going to kill Mordecai, I'm going to kill all of his people. I'm going to do genocide against the Jews because I know all them people think like he think. So we're not going to have that, not under my rule. King Ahasuerus has given me clout, and I'm not going to have anybody around here not recognizing my authority. So he's gone, and everybody like him is gone. We're going to get rid of the Jews. He brings the idea to the king, Ahasuerus. And he tells Ahasuerus, Mr. Ahasuerus, king, you got some people here who don't go with you. There's a certain people scattered, and they don't abide by your rules. They don't abide by your laws. So if it pleases the king, verse 9, what I want to do is I want to get rid of them. I want to exterminate them because they're going to be a headache for you. In fact, I want to get rid of these people so bad, verse 9, that I will pay you to help get rid of them 10,000 talents of silver. I'm going to give you a boatload of money just to get rid of these people because these people are nothing but trouble. So the king put his signet ring down, signed the law of Haman the Agagite. We're told a couple of times in this passage Haman's background. He's an Agagite. Now that may not mean much to you, but God doesn't waste words in his word. This has a history to it. You see, the Agagites came from Agag. Agag is found in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 to 23. Agag is head of the Amalekites, and the Amalekites were trying to destroy the Jews many years ago when Saul was king in 1 Samuel 15. God told Saul, I want you to go and I want you to destroy the Amalekites and I want you to destroy the king Agag because these folks are trying to kill you. But Saul thought he was too smart for God. And he decided, I'm not going to kill the king. I'm going to kill some of the stuff, but I'm not going to kill all of the stuff because we can use some of the stuff. So he disobeyed God. Agag was allowed to live longer, so his legacy was allowed to continue. So now we in Esther with the fruit of a root of a same problem that wasn't dealt with early. So some of us know what it is to have something we should have dealt with, wish we would have dealt with, and if we would have dealt with it, we wouldn't be dealing with this today. But because we didn't deal with it when we should have dealt with it, we wind up with the fruit of it continuing in our life and circumstance. So when it says that Haman was an Agagite, he's telling you he's part of a legacy of unaddressed sin. And so now, not only is Mordecai in trouble, the whole race of Jews is about to be exterminated. Okay, here's lesson number one. You know it's your time when God connects spiritual preparation with spiritual warfare. You see, Haman was an agent of the devil whose goal it is to thwart the purposes of God. In the Old Testament, it had to do with destroying the Jews. In the New Testament, it has to do with muting the effectiveness of the church, the people, representative people of God. And so in order to pull that off, Satan uses people and uses systems in order to destroy the program and promises and purposes of God. Whenever God is getting ready to use someone, they will have a battle to overcome. They will have spiritual warfare that will seek to destroy God's program and purpose in your life and in the life of others. Because as you'll see, it's not just about you. He's going to get rid of Mordecai and all of the Jews. Before David could be recognized to be the future king of Israel, he had to go through a battle first. He had to face Goliath. It wasn't until he defeated Goliath, spiritual warfare, since it was a battle between gods, that he began to emerge as preparation for kingship. But before God elevated him to ultimate purpose, he had to use him in spiritual battle. So spiritual battle is always a prerequisite to spiritual purpose. If you're not willing to demonstrate that you're willing to deal with the spiritual issues that Satan brings in your life to thwart your purpose and how God wants to use you for the benefit of others, then you're not ready to be realized and set free for your ultimate spiritual purpose. See, what God wants to know before he gives you spiritual responsibility is that he can trust you to use the spiritual when the going gets tough. He wants to know that the spiritual won't be thrown aside when the natural shows up. Because it's real easy when the natural shows up to go secular. But when the spiritual shows up because there is a spiritual issue of thwarting the program of God, the question is, do you have insight enough to see what's happening spiritually so that you have foretaste enough to address it spiritually?
When Dr. Evans continues our message in just a moment, he'll talk about why we're so much better at taking stock of the trouble we're in than we are at recognizing the kingdom opportunities our problems present. Stay with us.
Sacked again. 25 yards from a first down and you're 6 points behind. No more timeouts. The clock's running out. You got one more play. Dr. Tony Evans says that's not just an exciting football game, it's what life feels like sometimes. The other team's bigger, stronger, you're losing ground and losing heart. It's almost game over. And then... In his brand new book, Pathways, Tony explains how God uses every circumstance in your life, good or bad, to move you toward victory.
God may put you in a bad situation so that he gives you a supernatural deliverance.
You'll learn to recognize the invisible hand of God pulling all the right strings in your life, connecting you with the power of divine providence in the midst of your personal pain, fear, failure, and loss. You'll come out equipped to connect the dots and discover that God has you where you are for a reason. Pathways from Providence to Purpose. Brand new from Dr. Tony Evans.
We'd like you to have a copy of this brand new resource as our thank you gift when you make any contribution to help keep this program coming your way. And if you contact us right away, we'll also include all 6 full-length CDs in Tony's current teaching series on Esther. The alternative is 100% listener-supported, so it's no exaggeration when we say that every gift is vitally important, no matter the size. So visit us today at tonyevans.org, let us know we can count on your help, and make the arrangements to get this special double offer before time runs out. Again, that's tonyevans.org, or give us a phone call at 1-800-800-3222, where resource team members are standing by ready to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Right now, though, Dr. Evans is back with more of today's lesson. Let's join him.
And so now the Jews are about to be destroyed. The scribes in verse 12 send the word out. The edict goes out about the destruction of the Jews. Letters are sent in verse 13 by carriers to all the provinces to destroy, to kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young, old, women, children. But we're told that this happened was going to happen in a 12-month cycle. Whenever God creates a gap, when evil is about to occur, the gap is good news in a bad situation. Remember, he told Nineveh through Jonah, in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Why not just destroy them? Because there's a window. There's a window between judgment declared and judgment implemented. Whenever God creates a window, you better praise him. Because a window is an opportunity. It's called a grace window. It's a window where God's mercy and grace is still being allowed before destruction is implemented. The edict is given. Chapter 4, verse 1, when Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, the garments of sorrow, and went out into the midst of the city and wailed loudly and bitterly. You could hear that man crying all over the place. Because when Satan is trying to do a number on you, he can bring you to tears. Many of us know what it is to have spiritual warfare against us, and we're weeping and wailing because the pain is so deep and so great. He was out there loudly declaring hopelessness because of how bad things look. He went as far as the king's gate. That's the entrance to the king's palace. And no one was to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. But there he was, mourning, with great mourning. Because we're told in verse 15 there was great confusion. You think you're a Jewish father sitting there with your family, and you hear come across the evening news, all Jews are to be exterminated. There's panic in the city of Susa. And now everybody's wailing because it looks like a hopeless situation. Let me tell you something, never count God out, no matter how bad things look. Well, Esther finds out that her cousin is out there in sackcloth and ashes. She doesn't really know what's going on. And so she sends him clothes out there to get him dressed. He rejects the clothes. Now it gets real interesting. She sends her servant, Hathbath, out in verse 6 to Mordecai. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him, the exact amount of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He sends word back to Esther. Gave a copy of the edict. And this is what he says to her in verse 8. That he might show Esther and inform her and to order her to go to the king and implore his favor and to plead with him for her people. Mordecai tells Esther's servant, take the edict to Esther and tell Esther now to go to the king and tell him who you are. Remember, I told you don't tell him when he first brought you in. Don't tell him because there's an anti-Semitic atmosphere in this city. So you don't tell him. But girlfriend, honey bun, cuz, it's now time to come out the closet. It's now time to go public. It's now time to let it be known who you are and who your people happen to be. It's time. You know it's time for God to move you to your ultimate purpose when he has given you a position that leverages influence for the advancement of his kingdom. He says, girl, you're not just here because you're pretty. You're pretty, but that's not why you're here. You're here because when you were pretty and didn't know what was going on, God knew this day was going to come. He doesn't use the name God, but it will be clear in a moment. That's his frame of reference. God knew that this day was going to come. It's time. You've been set up for a situation. When God has positioned you to leverage influence for his kingdom purposes. Let me put it another way. When your position in life allows you to leverage influence for the advancement of God's program and God's people. To put it another way, when he has blessed you to be a blessing. See, we got a problem today. We got a misunderstanding of blessing. We got people running around here, I'm looking for my blessing. That is a flawed approach to blessing because it's incomplete. Whenever you tell God, I want my blessing, period, you have prostituted the term. Because blessing is only blessing in the Bible when it can flow through you and not just to you. God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you and through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So whenever you go to God for a blessing, let him know that if he blesses to you, how it's going to flow through you so it can be a blessing to somebody else. God just doesn't move you out of South Dallas to North Dallas. He just doesn't get you out of a bicycle and move you to a Benz. He just doesn't keep you out of the Salvation Army thrift shop just and so now that you can go to the most fabulous malls just so you can live large. He always wants to know how you're going to use the gifts, talents, skills, and resources he has given you to advance his kingdom program. And if there is little or no concern for his kingdom, you just cut off your blessing. In fact, you will watch your blessing become a curse because you're not using it for kingdom purposes as well as personal benefit. So he tells her, it's time. It's time for you to use your position, your influence, your resources, and you are now to leverage that in light of the spiritual issue. The problem is, if you don't see the spiritual, you don't see the opportunity. See, if all you're looking at is the physical, then you don't see what's happening behind the scenes in the spiritual. So you all shook up about what's happening in the physical because you don't know that there is a spiritual activity occurring behind the scenes. So she hears that she's supposed to go before the king. So she sends word back to Mordecai. Verse 11, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that for any man or woman who comes to the king, to the inner court, who is not summoned, he has but one law, that he be put to death. Unless the king holds out to him the golden scepter so that he may live, and I have not been summoned to come to the king for these 30 days. Mort, let me explain something. Me and the king have not been talking for 30 days. So what you're asking is for me to risk my career, life, economic stability. I'm living in the palace. You're asking me to put that on the line for y'all. What she did is what we do. We misdiagnose kingdom opportunity because we don't see it. All we see is this could have a negative effect on me. See, she forgot something. If it wasn't for the goodness of God, she wouldn't be there. Once you start living in a certain neighborhood and driving a certain vehicle and wearing certain clothes and getting a BA and an MBA and a doctorate, and it's easy to forget that if it were not for the grace of God, you would not be in the position you are now in. It's easy to forget that. And when you forget that, you're not so concerned about how other folk gonna make it.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about the importance of keeping in mind that we're blessed to be a blessing. Before I tell you what Tony has in store for tomorrow, don't forget that his current series on Esther is available on CD as our thank you gift for your contribution of any size to help keep Tony's teaching on this station. Along with it, you'll get his brand new book, Pathways, that I told you about earlier. As always, the details are waiting for you at tonyevans.org. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for Tony's free weekly email devotional and get information on an upcoming movie event you won't want to miss. On April 29th and 30th, Dr. Evans will be teaming up with Fathom Events to present Kingdom Men Rising, a powerful look at how men can stop making excuses and start being the leaders God intended them to be. You'll get to meet Tony's dad and learn about their special relationship. Also featured will be Kirk Franklin, Troy Vincent, Tony Dungy, John Kitna, and others. Again, Kingdom Men Rising is coming to a select theater near you on April 29th and 30th. Or if there is no theater near you, maybe your church could plan on hosting a special showing. Either way, tonyevans.org is the place to go for more information. Our resource center is always open to help you as well. Just call us at 1-800-800-3222, day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. When God lays out the path of our lives, he doesn't put a big well-lit sign at every turn saying, go this way. So tomorrow, Dr. Evans will take us deeper into the book of Esther for a look at how to get better at spotting the trail markers when they come along. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.